This is CliffCentral.com. Gentlemen by choice on CliffCentral.com. Wait, what time is it today? It's 12 o'clock. Which day is it? It's Thursday. You know what that means? It's time for Gentlemen by Choice. Yeah, baby! Yeah! Welcome to Gentlemen by Choice. You're chilling with Wizza. Wizza, that guy. But I'm never alone. I'm always joined by some really cool gentlemen. And they're always here with me. Simpiwe, Pedros, and Lesego Mapanga. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
100%, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. Lesego?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
Can't complain.
Yeah. That's good, man. It's good to have you back, Lesego.
Lesego, where were you, bro?
Hey, I was out, guys. Even right now, I was telling Simpiwe, I'm getting a bit of the cold right now.
You're getting a bit of cold.
I think I'm getting a bit of the flu, but I mean, we can't let that happen. That's
is
mediocrity.
It man flu? What is it?
That's mediocrity.
So early.
We can't be getting flu.
Winter's not even here
that's
yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Winter is coming.
And do you know what the worst type of flu is? It's the summer cold.
Yeah.
When you have the flu in summer, that is the worst cold.
Eish. Well, I think though is because I'm like doing voiceovers and stuff like that, I always have to stay healthy. So, like, yo, bro.
Wizza has his remedies. Did he tell you about those funny remedies of his? I think we should talk about
that. You always have to have some sort of chemical potion going on to make sure that you don't get sick. But, I mean, on the regular stuff is literally just when you're out with friends, choose orange juice above appetizer or whatever else anybody else is having.
Because you know, it's vitamin C, right?
Yeah, man. So you always just got to just make those little decisions every single day that actually, you know, make sure that you don't really get sick. But then there's other things as well. Like today I started with my morning with some lemon and ginger tea. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, with some honey in there. You know, that type of stuff.
I'm on the peppermint tea.
Oh, yeah.
Lemon.
That
thing, it just wakes you up. It's and like it clears out
everything. Yeah, that's good.
I love the ginger tea with lemon, bro.
Yeah.
That thing is amazing.
Mm, I actually.
So I think it comes in those sachets, right?
Yeah, that's
the one, bro. Yeah.
Because at first I was about to buy ginger and buy lemons and buy honey. Then I asked myself, isn't there something where it's like
there
fused
must
already?
Be something.
So
out
I was
there.
Just walking through the aisle. I was like, whoa. So I mean, there's all these really cool things that you can get these days to, you know, to make sure that you don't get sick. And always a stitch in time saves a dime.
Yeah. Sounds like gentleman's etiquette, right?
Yes, yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Speaking of gentlemen, you know, it's actually a year of gentlemen by choice.
Yeah, well, it's the financial year for others, but it's also the radio, year as well, right? So this is like, New Year's Eve for radio right now. This is that last show just before we are officially, you know, entering a new year into radio years.
This is when you can now claim you have experience. You can walk around and be like, I'm a seasoned veteran. Been here,
seasoned. Been doing this thing.
Been doing this thing.
So I mean, it's like if you're watching series that we've already completed season one.
Yeah.
And we're about to now go into season two.
What does season two hold?
And we have to try and, you know, have it a little bit different.
Yeah,
there
man.
Must be some sort of spice nyana. Some sort of flavor.
I think there needs to be a new flavor. I mean, it becomes redundant, doesn't it? Like, we even get bored of doing the same old thing over and over again.
I think it's in our culture. I mean, Simpiwe was at Transnet for an X amount of time, then he got bored. You know, and then he was at Deloitte, and then he got bored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
as well, and then we did engineering, and then we got
so bored. So we did engineering for the longest time, though, so I think that's where it started, bro. I was like,
like, engineering takes your bone marrow out of your bones.
I can believe that, eh? Like,
But you know the thing about varsity and engineering and all that, no? The one thing I realized, you know, when you go back to campus and you go to your lectures and just engage with them, the amount of respect they have once you've left, it's almost like that thing. You remember when you matriculated?
Yeah.
Like, teachers were always being friendly. Once you matriculate, then all of a sudden, all the teachers are nice to you. Like, how are you?
You made it.
We're coming back. We miss you. It's like, please. So I still say engineering is so overrated, guys.
I love how Wizza said it. Like, it sucks the bone marrow out of your bones. It, like, literally takes the life out of you almost. Yeah. Like,
what it, in fairness, it doesn't do this to everybody. It depends on your personality as well. I think one thing that I'd said in a seminar once that I could probably say again is, you made some decisions when you were 17, 18 years old as in which career you want to do, which is all good. And then that's what you went for. But let's think about it. If you met, if you had two people in front of you, there's a 16-year-old or 17-year-old and a 20-year-old or 25-year-old, and then you had to take advice from these two people, whose advice would you trust a bit more?
The older one.
The older one. Maybe they've seen more of life. Maybe they've, you know, they've witnessed more things. They know a bit more about what's out there.
Yeah.
So their view is a little bit bigger. That's why you trust your parents more than you could maybe trust, you know, someone a bit younger. So now the same applies to you. If you taking your own advice, Lesego, right now you'd like what, 20? You're going to 26, right?
Mm.
Would you take 25-year-old Lesego's advice? Or would you take 17-year-old Lesego's advice?
25.
Because 25 knows has better. Seen more. He knows better. He's been through.
He's a radio seasoned veteran.
There we go.
That's why. Bars.
Straight up bars.
Yeah. So I mean, no matter what it is you're doing, but you'd probably want to take the advice of the seasoned person more than the unseasoned person.
Yeah.
And now the same thing. Let's say you made a certain decision when you were 17 years old, as in, this is what I want to do with my life.
Mm.
And as you went, now a lot of people find themselves stuck doing what they set out to do when they were 16 or 17. And now it doesn't really seem like the thing for them anymore. But now they think, well, this is what it is for me. This is all I got. This is where I should be. But if I had to ask you now, what do you want to do? Maybe you now have different things, different dreams. And who are you not to take the advice of 25-year-old you versus the 16-year-old you?
I mean, does 17-year-old Lesego even know what he wanted to do or what he wanted to become, you know?
Do you know what this speaks to? Remember we interviewed Chad a couple of weeks back?
Yeah.
And we spoke to reinventing yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was a football player at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was a golfer.
Yeah.
And then he was a rapper. So I think it's one of those things. I think as much as, and I agree with you, as much as you made decisions when you were 17, I think it's a whole thing of reinventing yourself. You can't be the same person for like a full decade.
Mm.
And also when it comes to education, I know, you know, in inverted commas, we badmouth education and engineering in terms of what you go through, but it's never a waste of time.
It isn't.
It's never a waste of time, because the way you grow as a person, how you think, and I actually see it a lot of time when you interact with other people that study other things and it's different, you actually realize that, okay, I can see the levels here.
yeah
I can agree with that, you know, where you like you're looking at the whole picture and then people are just focusing on this one problem, or you're like, your mind, I catch myself, the engineer in some people comes out every now and then and he's looking at the whole thing, is like, nah, but guys, this is not gonna work out. You can
see it like all the way down the road. You're like, guys, just cut this thing out, because over there you're gonna see trouble.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, I guess that's true. What we need to do with the next journey, the next season of the radio year, right?
And you know what this speaks to? Sorry, and I know I'm doing a bit of a sidebar here. Speaking of the whole 17 versus 25-year-old you.
Yeah.
A bit of advice to all the young people listening. When you get your first job and you earn your first bit of income, salary.
Yeah.
Do not make a large financial decision.
Like a car.
You know, like a car.
That's the biggest mistake most people make, right?
But an even bigger one is getting a place, home loan. A lot of guys, like, they get into their first job and they immediately buy like a 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom apartment.
Mm.
And then about two and a half years into it, you realize it's too small for you.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, what are you going to do now? Because now you've got like a 20-year commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll need a significant amount of money to get out of that.
That's how you trap yourself.
That's how you trap yourself.
Yeah.
So what should you do then with your money? Should you?
Do you know what you do? A lot of people get into their first job and they don't even know how long they're going to stay there.
Mm.
You don't even know you're going to be there. You don't even know you're going to move. You don't even know. So So what a lot of people say is that, listen, your very first job, stay there for at least over a year. just to see where you are, because all the time when you go into a company, yes, you don't know the culture, you don't know the people, you don't even know if you want to be there or not. So excuse me, usually after a year and a half, or even 2 years,
yeah,
2 years to be safe, you'll know exactly where your life is going, what the trajectory is. That's when you can make such large decisions.
So don't follow Simpiwe's life path.
No, actually, Simpiwe actually has the right idea, because
it's the classic example.
I mean,
when he starts off at one company, you think he's going to stay there.
Yeah.
And then pretty much a few months down the line, he says, no, I don't want this anymore. These guys have other expectations of me.
Yeah, bro. Exactly.
That I don't necessarily want to follow. Change companies.
But now Simpiwe actually bought a house.
I'll be trapped
while he was
system.
In his first job. He would be stuck in that job.
The system would have had
now you can't leave because you're comfortable for
you
the salary.
You said you took a serious pay cut with your first move, right?
Yeah.
So now imagine you were living on credit, meaning that you were living beyond your means.
Yeah.
And then you can't even take that pay cut to go for passion now, because you're thinking, passion is going to have to wait, dog, until I pay off this house. So passion will wait for another 20 years.
Imagine.
And then 20 years down the line, well, Simpiwe's got little Simpiwe's running around.
And you push some passion into them now. Like,
and now you can't do passion anymore, because these kids, their school fees. I mean, you're not going to send your kids to
Super Tzela High.
Super Tzela High. And you're probably going to want to send them to somewhere where, you know, you're thinking, okay, maybe they'll deserve to go there. And your lady has certain expectations as well. She doesn't want to drive a Super Tzela High type of car.
You know what I mean?
Where does this come from? Like,
that time, she's probably Khosa. So now you know, boys. Now you know it's like, boys.
There we go. Lesego, bringing the Khosa thing back. Hey, yo.
So listen, sticking with this topic, right? I want to ask you guys a question, right? You know, when it comes to life policies and those type of insurances, I have a bit of a problem with them. And I'll tell you, and I'll explain why. So, Weza, you can... If I were to give you two options, I'd say, listen, you can take out this life policy, right?
Yeah.
Where when you get to age 60, it pays out R1 million.
Yeah.
Right? That's and you mean you're contributing like maybe R50 or R100 a month for the next 40 years.
True.
Okay? Or I say, work hard at your job, do the best that you are, and become a multimillionaire by the age of, let's say, 55. Which one would you take?
I'll take the second one. Simply because it's in my terms now.
Because essentially what I'm asking is that if you have R50 million in the bank, do you actually need a life policy?
You don't.
Do you need a funeral cover if you have R50 million in the bank?
Can I just answer this?
Yeah.
The answer to all the problems we face, debt, insurance, all of that, is just us making more money. If we make more money in everything that we do, then we won't need to stress about everything else.
Because if you think about it, insurance and all that drive, right? They actually call insurance in case ish happens. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's in case the wrong thing happens.
Yeah.
But if you know where you're going and you're confident about what you're going to be doing, right? You essentially don't need that backup.
The thing is, though, that in business, depending on how you conduct your business, you can face these type of risks. You remember the lady we had here... what was her name again?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I forgot her name.
There's this lovely lady we were interviewing not a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. And she was a millionaire, balling hard, thinking that she doesn't need nothing.
A car for every day of the week.
She had a car for every day of the week. She was flying to Dubai just for a dress. You know, that lady. And then all of a sudden, everything came crashing down. She was owing... Like what was it? 10 million?
Yeah, something like 10
somewhere
million.
Around 10 million.
And she had nothing.
And she had nothing. And now you owe R10 million, and you want to try pay it back, and so on. So it's clear that life can go topsy turvy. And had she had some sort of protection, at least she would know that, you know what, I've got a lifeboat there.
Yes.
So I think it depends on what we're talking about specifically. So if it's your business, you want to cover your business and protect it. But a life policy, R50 a month for the next 40 years, like that's a personal thing.
I've actually been approached by these life policy guys. I was taking blood tests yesterday. guys, I was doing all these things. You know, they let you do all these things. So I'm healthy. Good.
That's good to hear, man. That's good to hear.
But what I was getting to is that So there's a you know, there's disability cover.
Yeah.
So there's something that you get paid in case you're disabled and you can no longer do your job as good as you could.
Yeah.
Then there is something called a dread disease cover. Mm. So for instance, if you know, get cancer and that type of stuff. So there's and also the weird thing about that, right, is that they don't pay you everything regardless of what you have. So if you have cancer stage 1 versus stage 5, but you know, different stages pay out different amounts.
Yeah, levels.
So when it's guaranteed that you're gonna die, then they'll give you a lot of money. I'm like, why? I'm sick. Give me my money, man. Jeez. Anyway, so there's that. Then there's the you know, the life cover, meaning that when you die, this is what will go to your family. You know, that's what you're leaving behind. And what I appreciate about the life cover is this. You know, there's sometimes a case where Lesego has his wife and his kids, and he's been working hard. And I mean, he's got this 20-year bond to pay off with this 1.3 million rand house, and everything looks great. The kids are going to good schools, and life was just good for you. Then you got into a car accident. Boom. This is 10 years into your life. You are at the age, I know you said you're going to get married at like 30. So now you, actually 40. 40, right?
So now you're at 50.
So you're at 50. Yeah. You have not paid off that house.
Yeah.
You're 50 years old. You're dead. And the house now, because you hadn't paid it off, the bank repossesses it. And now whatever else you were owing, if you're still owing on that lovely Audi that you had, that's getting repossessed. Your kids had a home. Now they don't have a home. There's no cars as well. Like, life has just gone backwards for them. Your mom can't afford school fees on her own. Mm. So then they move to a smaller life. You see, now it starts to give you chesties to say, ah, man,
I should have had the life policy. Know?
So what the life policy does, not that we're trying to encourage life policies, but what we're trying to do is just educate everybody. So that, I mean, we're young people. Sometimes we don't know these things. So what the life policy does is, if you die too early, it pays off the house, it pays off the car, so that the things that you were still paying off can still belong to your kids and to your family. So that's all fair and well. Mm. And if you were not owing anybody, then that money just is given to them, trust fund vibes. So that's
the positive part of it.
Mm. Positive part of it. Mm. And if you consider how much you're paying per month, ne?
Mm.
If you were to save that 200 rand or 250 a month, save it, times it by, you know,
all those months,
it will never amount to 500,000 or a million. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is just in case. It's good for them because they make a lot of money taking your money like that, because they invested in their stock markets and everything, and they make truckloads of money.
Yes.
But it's risky for you to go try and the whole Forex exchange thing and think that you're
something's
also
gonna go wrong, bro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to know what you're doing.
You need to know what you're doing. Yeah.
So you see, so there's two different type of young people in South Africa.
Yeah.
There are the Wizards who mitigate risk.
Yeah.
And then there are the Lesegos who say, all the money I make is to make more money.
Yeah.
And if you go bankrupt,
then we read about Lesegos on Daily Sun. We just auctioned this house.
Because and this is what I say. So like someone like Richard Branson. So Branson actually can't have an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because of his lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
So he has to save. So he puts it in like a savings, whatever, X amount of million. And then you get someone like Donald Trump who's gone bankrupt and made money again, et cetera. So basically what it is that life just doesn't have any guarantees.
I feel like you should just live life on your terms, man. That's whatever works for you, bro.
And then this... Yeah, but maybe I should say this for probably for next week. But I have another one as well in terms of...
How do we get to this? Wait, like, I'm trying to understand. Because we were talking about the new season, new year, new show. Now
this is important, though.
This is important.
Is this the new season, guys?
This is fundamental.
This is Adele 25. Like, it's new things. What?
Is this the new season? Like, that's what I'm trying to find.
New things that happen in life.
Because another thing was, how many life policies you should get? Do you get a life policy, or you should get a dread disease? Or should you have this, or you should have a funeral cover? Because you know there's different,
there's different packages. Then there's a company that can give you all of them, all in one.
Mm.
And then you pay like 60 rand for the life cover, then you pay like 120 rand.
Because the one I definitely know I don't need is funeral cover.
Yeah.
No, listen, worst case scenario, I'll always have enough money for my own funeral.
Haven't you seen Desmond Dube?
One million per month.
No, guys. But I'm going to cut you off gear now. No.
Let's
no.
all stop talking shenanigans.
Is this what Gentleman by Choice will be in the new year? Are we going to call it insurance talk, life policy talk?
No. Obviously not. But it was just important because important, a lot of young people normally don't know about these. Hey, what should I be saving? How should I be going about? Mm. You know, you get these random phone calls. I mean, just after you've graduated, you get all these phone calls from different people saying, hey, we can insure you like this. Hey, how about you take? And you're like, I'm not interested. But you don't know if you're not interested because you never really given them a chance to explain what it is. And do you really need it? We're not sure, but let's find out.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, it's a really good idea to start saving from a very young age. It's also a good idea to try get certain policies or maybe even start saving for your retirement from a very young age, because now there's this tax-free saving thing that's out there as well.
Mm.
Where, I mean, ew, tax, guys, tax is real, guys.
It is a real thing.
Chow your money.
Hard.
And if you don't know about it, then, I mean, now you're getting chowed anyway, but you don't know about it. And, the worst thing is not knowing, because when you have to go to court and then they say, why didn't you pay your tax? And you're like, I didn't know. They're like,
That's all I want to say. New season. I want to go back to the new season as we're about to get our guest in. And what I want to ask, where is Gentleman by Choice going in year two? Because we are growing up, we're doing big things and we're talking serious stuff. But is Gentleman by Choice going another level? Is Gentleman by Choice the highest level? Where are we going, guys? That's what I need to know from you. And
we're going to Dubai and we're going to ball.
All right.
Hard.
So I'm just trying to create the new identity out here for our new season. And if we're going to Dubai to ball, okay, well, let's find out what our new identity is when we're in Dubai and balling, okay? So I put out a tweet on Twitter, and I just put a poll out there just finding out what's the next step for the new radio year. I just asked, what should we call Gentleman by Choice? I mean, we've discussed this for the past few weeks. And where should we be going? Because, I mean, we're doing a lot of stuff out here. Should we call the radio show in the new season Unplugged and In Charge? Should we keep it Gentleman by Choice? Or does it really matter? Do you really just love the show?
Or should we have the fourth musketeer, Mr. Vaughn here? Because on social media, we have been getting hit up to say, listen, guys, the events that you guys do with Vaughn and the other guys, why don't we have a one all and done platform? But we'll see what the new year
brings. We'll see what the new year holds. But if you go onto my Twitter profile, at Sampira Petros, you'll see my tweet that I pinned there, saying that what should we do next? I mean, your input is more important than anybody else. And at the moment, maybe I should share some insight on this poll. What do you guys feel?
Go for it.
Okay, so I put this poll up this morning, about 2 hours ago. And I just asked, all I said is Gentleman by Choice is officially a year old. With the new radio year, what do you think the show should be called? And I had three options. Gentleman by Choice, Unplugged and In Charge, or I just love the show. It doesn't really matter what the show is called. Take a guess how the results are going at the moment. What do you think, Lesekong?
I think it was an option for Mapanga Radio.
This guy's like
90%. I'm joking.
What?
I'm joking. I don't know. I'd expect number one to be Gentleman by Choice because people are used to it, right?
Okay.
Maybe number two, they don't care what the name of the show is.
All right. Okay. Wizza, what do you feel?
Well, I mean, Unplugged and In Charge has been something that we've been pushing for quite some time. It's a great movement, and it's something that looks like it's going to be huge, not just for South. It's not a South African dream. It's an African dream.
Yeah.
And it would make sense to merge the two things together and say, whatever we're doing is, you know, it's with one beat.
Yeah.
So I think there are some people who are going to see it like that as well and say, let's fuse everything. Let there be unplugged and In Charge radio. It's Unplugged and In Charge seminars. It's Unplugged and In Charge t-shirts.
The golden thread, right?
You know, it's Unplugged and In Charge caps. Everything is just Unplugged and In Charge.
Okay. So what I can share is some insights on the poll. It's been very interesting. When the poll started, Okay, so let me just tell you straight.
Yeah.
The third option, I just love the show. That's last place. So it's it's on 15%.
Yeah.
And between Unplugged and Gentleman by Choice, it was an interesting thing at the beginning. One of them was doing really well at the beginning. They were like 80-90%. And now it's evening out a bit. And in second place at the moment is Unplugged and In Charge with 38%. And in first place is Gentleman by Choice with 47%. But who knows what could happen in the next few days. I'm going to have this poll up for the next few days. I have a feeling that the tables will turn again. Who knows what will happen. But I really have a feeling that people are... Change is good, you know? I just feel like change is good and we'll see what happens.
I feel like that poll is more interesting than the IEC voting.
Hey, bro. But yeah, that's my 2 cents. Thanks for talking about insurance when I was just trying to share my 2 cents. Like, it's okay.
Sorry, guys.
All right. So we got the lovely lady in studio with us today. She's got a lovely smile, I must say. We're actually going to be chatting to this lady right here. She's an MC and speaker in the corporate social responsibility space. And she lives by the motto, your life is your message to the world. Make it inspiring. Please welcome Thuli Sibego. Thuli, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming to join us right here. It's certainly always great to have you.
Yay, thank you.
So Thuli, tell us about yourself.
Sure, where do I start? Pretty much, Thuli Sibego is my name. Born and bred from Soweto, grew up in Soweto for most of my life.
Soweto?
Yeah. So we used to live in Orlando West, then we moved to Diepkloof.
Uh-huh.
I come from a very big family. Yeah. Like, very big.
What team does your family support in Soweto?
Obvious.
Obvious, Baba.
Orlando what? Pirates. Obvious.
I thought you were going to say Morocco Swallow.
I think my dad will literally kick us out. So I come from a very big family. I've got, there's 6 of us in total. Yeah. 1 boy, 5 girls.
Whoa.
So it's a very big family. And my background, well, I started working like anybody else. Left school, started working.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point my parents couldn't pay for me to go to varsity, so
yeah,
I had to quit varsity and pretty much decide what I wanted to do with myself. So initially I wanted to do an accounting degree, and then I changed my mind. I was like, no, this is not me. Like, being counting and counting numbers is not really something that I want to do.
Yeah.
And what happened is, you know, life is an amazing progression. You know, things happen that you don't really expect to happen.
Mm.
And I think at that point when I was working for an engineering firm, the HR lady, we were starting to do a lot of events within the business that the company.
Yeah.
And I said, so you know what, I'm gonna put my hand up. I'll love to help you just to kind of see if it's something that I'm interested in. So I started getting more involved in the marketing side of the business. We were hosting events for some of our clients that were coming in and out and all those great things.
Yeah.
And one of my friends that I went to school with, we always wanted to start a business together. It was one of our thing. We knew. We were like, you know what? We can run a company together. Both our parents were entrepreneurs when we were growing up. So we knew, you know, we're waiting for the right time.
Yeah.
And around the same time, she was already in the industry, and she was like, you know what, this is the right time. We need to get in there now. You know, opportunities there. So let's start this thing. Let's start working on this company. And
how old
put
are
this
you this time?
26.
Okay.
So we set, you know, late hours. Go to my job 9 to 5.
Mm.
In the evenings, we'd meet, put strategies together. How are we going to do this thing? How are we going to go out into the market? We're young. You know, I don't have experience. You've got the experience. How are we going to sell ourselves? We then eventually, you know, got together. We were basically at the right place at the right time. One of my clients at that point, they were looking for a new agency, and they were specific in what they wanted. And we kind of ticked all the boxes, you know, female, you know, BEE. So we kind of like, you're like, tick, tick, tick. We're like, yay, we can go pitch. And I think what helped us then when we started the company is, you know, she was already in the industry, so she had the experience. I was bringing in more the BEE element, you know. Mm. But I guess when you come into a partnership like that, you always need to bring in value, you know. And also it's also about learning from each other. And so we went in, we pitched, we got our first business, which was awesome.
Great.
Quit my job. And my mom was like, are you seriously going to quit your job? And I'm like, yes.
That's an interesting time in your life, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you got like one client and then you just quit the job.
Yeah, I quit my job with one client.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. You know?
No, but you know what? Also in fairness, I think when I look back at my life and where things are now, it was easier then, you know. Mm. I hadn't accumulated a lot of debt. I was living at home with my parents, you know. So it was easy for me to negotiate with my parents and say, okay, here's the thing here. My car's paid off. Great. Thumbs up. I can get to work. I can go to client meetings, but I need to stay home for another year just to figure myself out. And I think it was awesome because they supported me. My parents were like, thumbs up, let's see what happens. At first, obviously, like, you know, my mom was very apprehensive.
Yeah,
you know, you're getting benefits at work and I'm a benefits, you know how old
and
people are.
Yeah,
and you know,
security,
you provident fund. Anyway, so eventually it worked out. We ran the business. We've been running the business for about 10 years now. Well, it's my 11th year. Yeah, so you can calculate how old I am now. and within the business itself, you know, there was a lot of things that we were doing. We were doing a lot of events. Strange enough, my clients are in the technology sector.
Yeah.
And within the industry, I was like, sure, something is missing in this industry. You know, every time when I host events or I do events, there's not a lot of female representation. Where are the females in technology?
Yeah.
So the whole idea came about with my business, well, my other partner, where we sat down in, you know, at our events and we're like, okay, why are there no females in technology? Where are they? Yes, they're there, but the representation is not so great.
Yeah.
So the few females that I spoke to, I was like, okay, but make me understand, you know, so where are the females? And she's like, no, you know, Tuli, in technology, it's quite hard because when you're young, as a young female, you are not associated with technology. Technology is for boys, you know. It's for females. It's not something that we get into quickly or we see careers in the
so
space.
So it was a huge gap.
It was a huge gap. And then I took my background, you know, and my upbringing, and I'm like, this actually makes sense because I grew up playing video games. Yeah. I grew up doing Game Boy. I had a brother, so I was very close with my brother. So that was my thing.
Shame. So and I mean, he needed.
I know he did. He needed somebody. And I guess he probably felt that I was the easy one to get into the whole thing. Mm. And that's really where it came from. And I was like, you know, I looked at my upbringing, and I'm like, you know, had I had a mentor or somebody that I knew or somebody that was in the industry, I probably would have considered a career in technology. I don't know what would have happened.
It's actually interesting. What I actually want to ask you is based on your background, actually, then, because you told us that you went to varsity, then you dropped out, and then you wanted to study accounting, then you're working at an engineering firm.
Yeah.
So I think I missed something somewhere, somehow, because it's a very interesting background, because now you're in the technology space. We're in the future. You're in the technology space. But how did you get to the engineering firm, first of all?
I was doing project accounting within the engineering firm. Okay. So there was a position for an accountant because that's what I wanted to become.
Okay.
So that's when I kind of applied and I thought that's what I wanted to do. But once I was in there, I was like, no, bean counting is not my thing. I cannot do this every day. So that's how I progressed to the marketing element and then opening my agency.
Yeah.
And then now obviously running Anglo-African events within the tech space.
Yeah.
And then starting the organization Girls Invent Tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing was we need to empower young females to consider careers in technology.
Yeah.
And there's so many amazing women in tech that I've met who are doing phenomenal things, black, white, Indian, across the board.
Yeah.
And for me, I think I want to use this platform, well, Girls Invent Tomorrow, to kind of share their stories, you know. Tell young females that they are out there, they exist, and they're doing amazing things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the world as a whole, you know, from a technology perspective, big corporates are being run by females.
Yeah.
You know, you look at your HPs, you look at your Intels, you look at, you know, there's quite a few tech giants are being run by females.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think it was just the next progression and really where we wanted to go as a company to kind of, you know, we now need to concentrate on events that add value. You know, it's not just about we create events where we make money. Yes, everybody wants to make money, but we need to give back. You know, so what then we decided to do is within the wing of the company, we would use Girls Invent Tomorrow as our CSI project. So within the CSI project, we'd do a number of events. You know, we'd host coding sessions. We'd go to schools and speak to young girls, bring females in technology and speak to young girls and get them to meet, you know, other young females so they can identify with. Because I know with a lot of young people, it's you need somebody you can identify with.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good and well. You say somebody is the CEO, but if you can't identify with them or you don't know their story, it comes a bit far-fetched. The story feels a bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
So I think for us, it was really just about, you know, creating this entity that we can then take forward to different companies or even within my clients to kind of say, look, I've created this entity. If you're looking for a CSI element of it. Let's talk, let's work together, let's, you know, let's do good, and kind of try and fix the status quo when it comes to the technology element, you know, where females are represented. And that's how Girls Invent Tomorrow started. And this is, it's 2 years old. We've got an amazing project that we're doing. I mean, we've just literally put our project plan together for this year. Obviously, I mean, March is it's on the 12th of March is International Women's Day. One of our projects that we're doing is there's a home that we've just partnered with in Midrand, New Jerusalem home.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're taking them to UJ, and we're spending about a day. We're exposing them to robotics. These are
how
females.
How old are these girls?
8, 9, and 10. So that's grade 10 to 12.
Okay.
You know, we're just trying to expose them to what's out there. You know, that's one of the projects that we're doing. And the other projects that we've got planned, we've got another career workshop where I've got an amazing lineup of females. So we're going to be, you know, talking about their story, where they come from, what they did. And we're going to have like a session with them, sit down, talk about who they are, where they come from, and kind of try and motivate and inspire, you know, young females, for, you know, across the board, just to kind of, you know, to see that anything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to limit yourself to wanting to be a presenter or, you know, wanting to...
Giving them more options in essence.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So because they don't really know about this
stuff.
They don't.
The reality is they don't. And, you know, it's funny how with having done this Girls Invent Tomorrow, I had a lot of other questions when I was going to schools or talking to different young people, where they were like, but what about other careers? You know, what about us? What about what, you know, what are we going to do with, you know, with all those careers? And then, you know, I'm an ideas person. I always want to create things, and then I hopefully have a team that can kind of execute. And then obviously the next generation movement started, you know, from that way.
It's like puzzle pieces.
So I'm trying to piece all the puzzles together. So what we then did last year is we hosted our first event called Next Generation Leadership Conference.
Yeah.
And what we did then is really this event is for young people, you know, anybody who's a youth who's under 35. This event specifically is for them. You know, what we try and do with that event is we try and get young people to speak to other young people. You know, young people who've done amazing things, who are breaking boundaries, you know. So what it's a full day session, and we've got different topics. We've got topics on careers, we've got topics on entrepreneurship, we've got topics on just CSI.
Yeah.
And that kind of also kind of fitted in into, you know, Anglo-African events and our CSI projects, how are we going to give back now that we've kind of, you know, the company works. We've built the clientele. Now what are we going to do to add value? It's not just about just the money element. Now it's about adding value in society. And you know, with the whole fees must fall that's happening now, for us it was like, sure, everything is kind of tying in quite nicely. You know, what are we going to theme this year's event that's targeted at youth, to kind of, you know, give them a platform to talk, voice their opinions, and then use that platform to kind of say, it's your future at the end of the day. The platforms are there, created for you. How are you going to use those platforms to then grow yourselves, you know? So that's really pretty much where I am in my career and what I'm doing in terms of my projects.
What about boys?
Actually, wanted to ask them.
That's where the next generation comes in. The next generation is across the board. It's females, it's males, it's you know, it's really the platform that we've created. From the technology space, when it comes to boys, is my husband, strange enough, he's in technology. He's lived, breathed technology. So we're trying to kind of form a company together that we can then, when we host these events, we can then bring in the boys' side of things, you know, because we've also felt that there's a big gap. And a lot of the young boys, when we have the girls, they're like, but what about us? We're getting left behind.
Yeah.
So it's also creating that platform. And yes, we are creating it, and we are running a project together. You know, my husband and I are rolling out a project where we're going to host a coding session or just different sessions every Saturday. So we're going to the schools now to kind of present this thing that we want to do. It's going to be a 12-week program. He's going to be teaching it. I'm the brains behind it. He'll teach.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, just kind of give our kids skills to equip them for the future. Because I think, you know, once you start working and you start, you know, making money, or if that's what it's called, I think we forget the people behind us, you know. And I think for me, my biggest thing is it's always been about, it's not just about you in this world. There are other people that you need to empower.
Yeah.
So it's my biggest thing. Like, I live by empowering other people. So anything that I do, I'm always, okay, what about the next person? So it's, for me, I think I'm at that stage in my life where, I'm still learning. I'm still learning from my mentor. I'm still learning from people that I look up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But while I'm learning and with what I've learned, let's bring the other people up with us. You know, I read somewhere, somebody said an amazing analogy to say, you know, it's like with a lot of people, you know, it's like taking a lift. You go to the lift, you get to the top of the lift, and then you shut it. You know, you're like, I'm here. Thank you for playing. It's been great. Instead of taking the lift down and like bringing other people up with you.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's actually so amazing. I'm going to start using that analogy in terms of just what we need to do as society, because I think the problem is we're all looking for help from the government, for instance, or from other people, but we're not looking within, you know. And I feel young people especially, they're sitting in such an amazing opportunity right now. There's so many companies out there that are willing to help, that are who want young people. But the problem with young people is a lot of them don't want to work for it. You know, everybody wants the quick, like getting there quickly. I want to make my money, drive my fancy car. You have to serve your dues. You know, you have to start at the bottom and work your way up. And that's just how the world works. Yes, there'll be a few young people who will, you know, who'll do amazing things when they're young. But for most of us, you have to serve your dues. And I find that, you know, young people are very me driven, you know, with all the opportunities that are out there. You are so me driven, you forget to actually say, hey, here's an opportunity given to me. How can I use this opportunity to grow myself? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, the part that's missing. So we're trying. I mean, look, we everything is still teething for me. And we're kind of trying to grow both the, you know, the next gen conferences, which we're focusing on doing them on Youth Month, which will be in June. And obviously the Girls Invent Tomorrow, you know, focusing more on the females. Sorry, guys, focusing on the females. And then hopefully once, you know, my husband and I have kind of put together our plan for doing combined, then we can kind of focus on the boys as well.
Once you focus on the boys, can you just call them gentlemen by choice?
All right.
Here's something. You see, a lot of I hear what you're saying about young people not wanting to do the work, and they feel like they want to get there quickly and so on. But where does one draw the line between being exploited? Because that happens too sometimes, where a person says, let's just get some students to do this, like get experience and exposure. And
the two important E's, right?
You know, and they'll just do it for free because they're students, because they don't have nothing to do with money.
Yeah.
So they'll just do it for free, and then we will make this ton of money, and then we will, you know, we'll pocket it for ourselves.
And give them like 2%.
Yeah.
So so now where does one draw the line? How are you able to say, Mona, they're using me here?
I think with any job or anything that you do, you know, it's always good to have other people that kind of you can bounce off ideas, you know, you can talk to, and you can kind of, you can speak to in terms of what is in the line of what I'm supposed to be doing during my 8 to 5 or my job, you know. And when you have that, when you know yourself and you know what's right and what's wrong, it's always important for you to establish that. Once you've established that, the foundation, then it's easy for you to go to your boss or whoever's exploiting you to say, according to this, you know, this is what we agreed on, but now we are now going outside the boundaries. And I find that we get very emotional, and once you get emotional, you lose the plot completely, you know. You mustn't get emotional, you mustn't go through a tantrum, throw a choice. Just have a proper discussion. We're all adults, and I think a lot of bosses or whoever it is, they do listen if you behave like an adult. If you come to me and you throw a tantrum, I will treat you like a child, you know. And I think that's the part that I find is for me is with young people is missing.
Yeah.
Can I just say, the way you talk about everything that you're doing, you can just hear this is what you've always wanted to do with your life. I mean, you're so passionate and you speak with such conviction, which is something amazing. It's a rare quality. So it's amazing, man. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
What I really want to ask you is, your life really changed when you left your job, right?
Completely.
So, yes. I see Lesoko laughing because he realized that that's a similar space that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask is, how was it in that first year? I mean, there are a lot of things that a lot of people want to do out here in the world, but it's hard to take that leap, right?
Yeah. People don't know what's on the other side.
Exactly.
Because they've always been on this side.
Exactly.
And this side. So tell us, what is on the other side?
What is on the other side, and what does it take?
The first year on the other side.
And what does it take to get to where you got?
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
The other side. Like the other
featuring Thulisi Beko. Anyway, I'm sorry, just to get back to it. I think for me, it was a big leap of faith, but what made it easy for us
Yeah.
Was firstly the support we got from our family.
Yeah.
Without the support from your family, it becomes harder, you know, because you have to prove yourself to them and the people outside were like, ah, we see how this thing's going to last.
Mm.
The second thing is, you know, you with anything that you do, you have to kind of have a plan in place, you know, and say, okay, in the next year, where do I see this company or where do I see this thing going?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, what are my options? You know, so you can't go in there. I'm saying going in there with the option of failure. No, I'm just saying have a plan in place.
Have vision, because right?
Have vision, yeah. Kind of see and say, okay, if it doesn't work out, when at what point do you then say, okay, this is not working, you know? And I think the third thing for me is, you know, using the relationships you have, you know, to kind of bounce off ideas, because sometimes you might have these amazing ideas, but if you speak to somebody older or somebody who's in the industry who's gone through the challenges, it's always easy to get somebody else's perspective, you know, because we spend so much time in our own heads that we forget, and you know, that there are other people who've walked the path, who know, who understand it, and that for me is also the big thing, you know. And I think when you For us, it made sense because there was two of us.
Yeah.
So any challenges we had, any troubles we had, we could bounce off each other. We had each other. You know, we were like a unit. When you try and do it on your own, it's harder because you're sitting there and you're like, yo, am I, you know, is this the right decision? Yeah. Or is it, you know? But for me, it was the leap of faith worked out.
Yeah.
The reason why it worked out is because we planned for it. Yeah. You know, we had a client that we pitched the work, we got the job, and it made it easier from that perspective.
Okay.
And it just, it kind of fell into place, but it fell into place with us having to work on the next thing. We had a client in place.
Yeah.
We couldn't have said, yeah, we've done it now and we're done.
Yeah, you haven't arrived.
We haven't, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We had the client in place and then we're like, okay, great, let's park this client in place. What are we going to do next?
Yeah.
Where's our focus?
Yeah.
And it kind of started growing slowly but surely, like just growing legs. I mean, it was tough, like any other business was tough. But because, you know, it was easier then, you know, the important thing is we didn't have debts.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the crux of it. It was just financially, we were, you know, we were in a position where it was whatever cent we got from the company, it went back into the company. You know,
so
it was.
So what I want to understand is how long did it actually take for you to realize that, yes, this actually works. We can do this. Like,
I think the second year.
The second
when
year.
When it kind of fell into place. When it's kind of became more solid and more real.
Okay.
And the contracts we were getting were a bit bigger.
Okay.
And more people started believing in us. Because before, people were like, oh, shame. Tuli's doing this thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know how it is. Elokshini. People just think when you run an events company, bang, I'm phone for my KK. Just random. And you're like, no, ma, actually, it's a proper company.
Like, this is your life. This is your life.
It's not a catering company.
Do you know what I'm saying? So there's all those things.
Because an events company,
it's too complicated.
Is catering.
Yeah, they do everything. By a caterer, but you have to kind of like say, I can help you, but I'm thinking some cake, you know. So it's just making people understand what it is that you do and what, you know, how your company works and stuff. So
that's powerful stuff. it gets tough. I have to agree with you, but no, definitely. That's, I think, For entrepreneurs and all of that, it's clearly evident that in your first year, things aren't necessarily going to blow out and be sustainable. It takes a lot more effort, right?
Yes, a lot of work. And it's a lot of late nights and a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was lucky then because I think, I don't even remember if I'm, I think my life, it was just from a relationship perspective.
Yeah.
It was easy because my partner then, who's actually my husband now, you know, really supported
it's
me.
Proper,
you know, it was actually quite awesome because I was thinking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's actually being the guy who was, you do it, baby, don't worry. I'll stay and get a job. You focus on the company. So I think that kind of made it even a lot easier. He was not competing with me. He was like, no, we're in this for the long term. But
that's
then
a man who knows who he is.
Yeah, I think it was. Look, I was really, I found the right person, and I'm very grateful for that.
Can I ask what culture group is he?
He's a Swati.
Nice. Goonie.
Nice. Nice. Cool.
That's cool.
So the support came from like my siblings, my sisters, my dad, my mother, and even my boyfriend then, because he was still my boyfriend. He was just there, and you know, he was just, okay, what do you think?
He wasn't
know?
Those so casual boyfriends who are like, all right, baby, you do you. You know,
you know, when you're young, you think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think with him, he obviously wanted long term, but it made it easy because
that's
he was
cool.
Then, okay, baby, you can do this thing. You know,
the guy's a visionary. That man deserves a belt.
That man deserves a proper belt.
Yeah. A gentleman by choice. A true gentleman by choice.
Now tell me, What, Thuli, what's your message to young girls or young women that are they are either dreaming of these things that they want to do, they either in varsity, some of them maybe are at work, but that's not it for them. They still have these other things, and they're wondering, when is the right time to leave? When is should I stay a while, get a lot of money first? When is the right time for me to leave?
I think you need to talk to someone. That is number one, you know, because, and also the money that you have, you know, it, make sure it's saved, and it's saved in a way that when you decide to leave, you can kind of, you know, it will last you, depending on how long it will last you.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's really talking to somebody about those ideas and finding the positive people who have positive influences around you, because it's always about, sometimes we think doing things on our own will get us far. But actually, it you know, in reality, is you need people around you. You need people around you to help you. You know, it's for me, it's I look at my company and how I run it now. I'm Thuli and it's great, but my team, you know, the girls who work for me, because it's a female team, the girl that work for me pretty much run the business. And the reason why they run the business is because we talk, we communicate, we plan, we I've included them in where the company is going. So I think with any young person wanting to do something, wanting to try something, wanting to, you know, venture out, there is always somebody who's willing to lend an ear, you know. Yeah. And you have to obviously find their time and be a pain, you know, pester them, keep nagging, because if you email somebody once and they don't respond, it means they're busy, you know. Yeah. The reality is people are busy, you know. But if you nag, SMS, you know, WhatsApp, they'll always remember that, I must actually spend some time and just see what this person needs help with. And I find we fear that, you know. We always, like, we send somebody an email and you wait like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then don't follow through. So it's started, but follow through, you know, because the reality is people are busy. They're not being funny, but people are busy. But just if you want something bad, you will make it happen. You know, that's my biggest, you will always make it happen no matter what happens. If it means you're waking up and meeting them at 6 a.m, you will make it happen. Because it's about you at the end of the day, and about you getting to the next level in your life.
Yeah.
But use the people around you to get you to the next level. You know, I'm no man's an island. Like, so I've clearly always said,
your circle is something that's very powerful.
I work within my relationships, you know, my girlfriends, my family, my husband. For me, I've seen that, you know, for you to grow, and even just as Black people in businesses that we are running, you know, we need to start working together to progress to the next level. You know, we need to stop fighting each other. You know, we need to start supporting each other. And I find that's our biggest downfall as an African society, is that we've got a pull him down syndrome. You know, and it's so sad, because we have so much potential, and yet we still under the radar. I feel we haven't uncapped, you know, what we have as just as a society. And until such time we start that, we're going to be left behind. And for me, I think with me and my family and the people around me, we are aware of that, and that's what we're trying to change. We're trying to say, okay guys, the reality is this is how the world works. How are we then going to change it so that we are also part of the moving forward? We don't want to get left behind. So let's pull in our resources, whatever it is, work together. Let's find a way to, you know, to reach the top.
Fantastic. Well, we heard some good words today from the lovely Mrs. Sebego herself.
Mrs.
Yeah, just put it out there.
Emphasize Mrs.
Because the man's listening too, you know. So this is actually quite fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us. How do we get in contact with, if we are ladies, we want to get involved with, you know, the whole movement for girls? How do we get involved?
We are, our website is girlsinventtomorrow.com. We are on Twitter, it's @girlsinvent, and then obviously my email is thuli.sebego@me.com. Very easy.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just some 5 really cool things about ladies who actually did invent stuff. Yeah. First up is the dishwasher.
Yeah, that makes sense. Second, that makes a lot of sense.
That sounds very sexy.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Then we have the fire escape, Monopoly. The windshield wiper was actually also invented by a woman. And the first user-friendly business computer software was actually also invented by a woman. So it's actually quite clear. Ladies do also invent tomorrow.
Yeah, they do.
Pretty cool. Fantastic. Thank you very much for being part of the show. This is Gentlemen by Choice. And it's another really great day.
Gentlemen by Choice on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.